Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Well, would you believe it? It's the last weekend in April, and I tell you what, the golf season in Wisconsin is in full bloom. We're about ready to hit the month of May, U.S. Open local qualifying coming up, but Gary D'Amato joins me. I'm Rob Hernandez. The first topic we have to wrap up before we can start the golf season in Wisconsin is we have to end the college season. And while that may be for some programs at the elite level a slow process that looks deep into the month of May, for most programs, this is it. And that certainly could be the case here. We lost the Badger women last weekend. They did not get an at-large berth after kind of struggling a little bit at the Big Ten Championship. And I think with ultimately falling below the that 500 mark, too, I was a little bit surprised. And the Badger men needed to finish fourth this week. And Gary D'Amato, as we did a lot of scoreboard watching here the last couple days, it looked promising for a while. But ultimately, the course, the conditions, and the intricacies of how you get selected for postseason golf may come back to end the season for the Badgers.
Yeah, Rob, I just got off the phone a little bit ago with Mike Wilson, Badgers third-year coach, and they were disappointed in the tie for seventh finish. They finished third last year and fifth the year before in Mike's first year. They will likely, almost certainly not make the NCAA tournament. Mike told me he thought they had to win the tournament or come very close to winning the tournament to get in. But I guess the good news is that Cam Huss is ranked 71st in the nation and probably will get an individual bid, so we'll have one Badger probably going to the NCAA regionals.
As we look at what the Badgers did this weekend, they were led, interestingly, by Jacob Beckman with a 15th place finish. Jacob had, again, like the rest of the team, strong first and second rounds, 70-74, finished with a 78. We've been waiting for Jacob to kind of break out. I know Mike Wilson has. I think he's got a solid kid for maybe his number one spot going forward. Once again, in the transition to truly the Mike Wilson era, I think we're going to see a kid who came in under Michael Burson probably go out as maybe the leader of the team next year.
I think you're right, Rob. You know, the other four guys in the lineup today for Wisconsin were all seniors, so Coach Wilson loses all four of those guys, Blake Wisdom, Daniel Ott, and who am I missing?
Coulter Smith.
Yeah, Coulter Smith. Yeah. So those guys are gone. He told me, you know, he's got three recruits coming in, and he gets Charlie Erlandson, who was in school but was not on a team this year, waiting for a spot to open. And Mike told me he's going to try to get one guy from the portal, which opens, I think, May 8th for non fifth year seniors. So depending on who he gets in the portal, you know, with the three highly ranked recruits coming in, they could be pretty strong next year, especially if Jacob Beckman continues the upward trend that he's been on the last couple of years.
And we look at that recruiting class, and we know that it's anchored. You mentioned Charlie Erlandson, who's, you know, kind of been that gray shirt this year on campus, but William Harned, who summers in Neshota, Wisconsin, just outside Heartland, but spends the school year at the Brunswick School in Greenwich, Connecticut. He's a kid that we've watched grow up on the WPGA Junior Tour. He looks to be quite strong. They got a kid from Milton, Georgia named Drew Sasha, and then also a kid out of Wellington, Florida named Jason Schwartz. I don't know as much about the last two, but, you know, Mike's, you know, I think pretty good judge of talent and has also gotten a lot out of the kids once they hit campus. So I think that combination tells me that the program's in pretty good hands here going forward.
Yeah, I think you raised a good point, Robin, that virtually all of the players, maybe with the exception of Coulter Smith, who took a step back, I think, maybe this year, but almost every one of the players that Mike's worked with and coached has gotten better, you know, through the years at Wisconsin. So, you know, Cameron Husker's probably going to do it no matter who coached him, but some of the other guys, I think, have made some big improvements under Mike. So I think that bodes well for the future for that program.
Before we leave the Big Ten Conference, we should also mention that a couple other Wisconsin-born players competing in the tournament.
Bennett Swavely bounced back after a tough second round for the University of Minnesota. Of course, Bennett, former state junior champion out of Hudson, shot 75 today, and he finished T47. The Gophers, 13th out of 14 teams. So, while I think everyone in the Wisconsin camp is disappointed at the T7 showing, it does tell you, Gary, that, over the last couple of years, that expectation level has increased significantly.
It has, following fifth and third place finishes. Mike told me that players were disappointed, and he was disappointed in where they finished today. They were hoping, I'm sure, for a top three or four finish in the conference. And, they were in pretty good position going into today, but just had a bad day. None of the top three players made a single birdie on a very, very difficult course setup at Scioto Country Club. Wilson said that it was a U.S. Open setup in 20-mile-per-hour winds, so that made it pretty good. Yeah, that made it. And he said we just bogeyed the back nine to death. And if you look at the scorecards, there's a lot of green on those scorecards, a lot of bogeys for those guys. But, everyone played tough for everybody. And Northwestern wins the tournament. I guess a little bit of a surprise that they beat Illinois by 15 strokes. But Northwestern's had a good program, too, for many years.
We've talked about it quite a bit here on Talking.Golf, the ins and outs in the lineup at Illinois for Pearson Hunt. He wound up being in the lineup and really played a key role for the Illini through the first two rounds, shot a pair of 73s and kept them in contention. And then his teammates kind of took over today, Jackson Buchanan with a 70, Ethan Wilson a 73 to lead the way as Pearson struggled to a 79 in the tough conditions. I just don't know what, I think we almost had to be there to know how you would feel about a 79 in those conditions. I'd like to think that Pearson finishing third over 54 holes with his team and having a score count twice over the weekend bodes well for a presumptive, appearance in the regional lineup. But you just don't know. It could be too with, Jerry G didn't play at all. One of the guys we talked about last week that Pearson tied at the individual portion of the Illini Classic last week. I mean, there's a lot of options for a guy like Mike Small to go with as they look at where they're going to, where they ultimately get placed for the regional. I believe the berths come out Wednesday and who he takes. But it was nice to see, I think, Pearson Hunt bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly was, Rob. And I would think he stays in the lineup, wouldn't you? Because he was a key contributor. He finished, 17th, was it, in the Big Ten? So, yeah, I think it'd be hard to take him out of the lineup at this point.
The Big Ten Championship, again, contested over the weekend here, wrapping up on Sunday as we record the podcast in Columbus, Ohio. So that one's in the books. The other Division I Big Ten or conference championship going on involving a Wisconsin school this weekend, the Big East Championship down in South Carolina, Hardeeville, South Carolina, Gary, Riverton Point Country Club. And going into the day, the Marquette Golden Eagles had a one-stroke lead over Seton Hall. They shoot a 302 today and drop three spots to fourth. They're currently 17 over par through 36 holes, one round to go. They're nine shots out of first. And, Gary, I feel if you're coming from the Big East Conference, you need to win the conference championship to get in the NCAAs. You're not going to, rest on a at-large berth. And I don't think Marquette, even if they were to, finish second, would even be close with their ranking. What do you make of what happened today? They just didn't have the firepower up top with Max Lyons. He shoots a 78. They've had Mason Schmidtke and Will Hemauer, two relatively, two newcomers to conference championship competition. In the lineup, and without Boom Sima Arie, they really, I thought, they held it together through, I'd say, almost 27 holes before the bottom fell out here on the back nine again in South Carolina as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Badgers and the Golden Eagles both struggled on the back nine today in their respective conference tournaments, Rob. And there's no question they missed Boom Sima Arie, gold medalist last year in the Big East, has been a rock for them the last couple of years. With him in the lineup, it's a completely different lineup, and, I'm sure their team score is probably a handful of strokes lower at least. than what they shot. So they've got some work to do, Rob. You know, they go into the final round Monday, 9 strokes off the pace with 3 teams ahead of them. Having said that, though, 9 strokes is not a mountain to overcome. It's definitely a hill, but it's not a mountain.
Well, and I have to go back in time. I mean, there was one of their conference championships was won with a massive comeback a few years ago. And, you know, so it isn't out of the realm of possibility. The question is, do you go with the same 5 tomorrow, Gary? And if so, who do you lean on the most to really make sure that you don't falter down the stretch? Because when you rally, you ultimately have somebody in that lineup that's going to be strong from start to finish.
Yeah, you know, they've got to continue to get good play from Aiden Lafferty and Josh Robinson, graduate students. Aiden from Downers Grove, Illinois, and Josh Robinson is from Northern Ireland. So Aiden's tied for the individual lead, I think, going into the final round, and Josh Robinson is right there, tied for 6, 2 strokes off the lead. So those two guys have to play well, I think, continue their great play. And then from the bottom of the line, from the 3rd, 4th, and 5th spots, they need 2 of those 3 guys to really play well tomorrow, I think. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. I wouldn't be surprised. I think Patrick Adler's traveling as the number 6. You know, I applaud Steve Bailey for giving a nod and an opportunity to Will Hamauer, but you know, he struggled on the back. I feel like maybe at a point today, you know, there was a lot asked of a lot of guys that maybe weren't in that position. I'm not sure why Josh Robinson faltered before making the birdie on 18 today, but there were a number of going back to the Max Lyons triple bogey on 8. 2, 4, 5 double bogeys in that mix. They wound up not counting 3 of them from Hamauer. I would expect maybe Adler to be in there just with some experience. And, you know, to the point about rallying, I believe it was 2015 in South Carolina, different course down in Okotie, that the Golden Eagles rallied past DePaul to win by 2 shots. And, you know, Patrick Sanchez was a co-medalist that day. And you mentioned to me in an email earlier, I mean, we've had a lot of different guys win conference championships for Marquette. And, you know, they've got another one in position here, you know, this week with Aiden Lafferty, you know, T1. And, again, this is a kid who was struggling to get in the 5 spot, you know, last spring. And we weren't sure what his role would be this year. And here he is. He's emerged as a great leader. So it'll be interesting. And again, it's the Big East. The same reasons why Marquette would not get an at-large berth, Gary, if they don't win the tournament, are the same reasons they could make up 9 strokes in the final round of a conference championship. A, they've done it before. And B, the teams ahead of them, while they've been playing well here in this tournament, nobody's shot lower than 291. And you go out there and shoot 288. And maybe let the you know, the pressure of a final round, you know, get to the other teams. You're looking at only needing those teams to shoot maybe a 297 to, you know, or at least Seton Hall to jump the ship. I think the problem here is Marquette has to leap not one but 3 teams to get that top spot, and that'll be difficult down the stretch, especially with a relatively young team.
Yeah, you're right. You know, 3 teams ahead of them makes it doubly difficult. They have to play well. They have to play well, you know, at the bottom of their lineup. And they have to, you know, but they've been, you know, pretty much the class of the Big East for 9 or 10 years here. They won the conference title in 2015, 17, 19, and last year. So, and the ones they didn't win in that span, they were, a couple of them, they were, you know, second or very close in the mix. So they're going to need a good one tomorrow, though, that's for sure.
We mentioned that the Badger women missed out on a bid last week. Also, UW-Green Bay was a good showing in the women's portion of the Horizon League Championship. And I believe they finished 3rd in their title defense. The men were 8th, kind of flipped the way that they had been playing leading up to the Horizon League Championship. And then Zach Kalka, 5th-year senior out of Beaver Dam for the UW-GB men, was the 5th place finisher, and he closes out his career on a high note. The Kalka family very much a part of the fabric of the junior tour in Wisconsin for the last decade, and now college golf for the last 5 or 6 years with Ashley, Kulka, preceding Zach and finishing up at Green Bay. So a solid showing for a young team. All five Green Bay golfers on the women's side will come back, and a really good recruiting class coming in for the men. So a lot of promise there. And then Meredith Boos, of formerly a former Waukesha Catholic Memorial golfer, she won the conference championship in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, a Division II conference for Regis University in Colorado. She was a transfer from Montana, so a conference champion there. And a conference champion today in the Northern Sun, where Baraboo's Carly Moon, competing for Winona State, shoots a final round 77 and holds off Lauren Timms of Augustana, South Dakota, to win the Northern Sun there. That means both Northern Sun champions on the men's side and the women's side from the same conference, basically. The Badger Conference in southern Wisconsin, Max Brood of Wanakee won the men's side last week. Lainey Wienendahl of Augustana, South Dakota, headed back to the NCAA regionals with Augustana. She shot a 74 today, shared low honors on her team as they shot 200, and Augustana pulled away from Winona State to win that conference title. And a couple more tournaments to wrap up yet. One, it will have a great deal of intrigue for Wisconsin golf fans, the Summit League Championship being played for some reason in Sellersburg, Indiana, even though most of these teams are from the Dakotas and Nebraska. But the Summit League being led right now by Ty Kretz. He went out and made 2, 4, 6, 7 birdies in his first 15 holes, bogeyed 16, finished par-par. He shoots 66, and he has a one-shot lead after one round of the Summit League Championship. South Dakota State shot 277, their four back of Missouri Kansas City, which is the top-ranked team in that conference, down, I believe, at 142. South Dakota, Bryson Mercier, by the way, a 76 today. His score was tossed for the Jackrabbits. And South Dakota, with Max Schmidtke, currently T13 with a 270, they are alone in fourth place at 9 under 279. So they're going low down in Sellersburg, Indiana. You know, some schools go all the way to Florida to play their conference championships. I'm not sure what was the selling point on Sellersburg, Indiana, for a bunch of teams from the Dakotas. Covered Bridge Golf Club. You might know that course, Gary. I don't know. Is it good?
I have played it, Rob. It's owned by Fuzzy Zeller.
Wow.
So maybe Fuzzy made a pitch to the Summit League to have their championship there. Yeah, it's right off the free I-65 on your way down to the Masters, which I drive to every year. And I stopped off there about 7 or 8 years ago and played it. It's a good course. And the funny thing was, Fuzzy was right in front of me playing with a group of guys.
Well, how about that?
That's my Sellersburg story.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while. So we've got a lot to follow yet. And then to your point about the portal in regards to the Badgers, you know, Mike Wilson's found a lot of guys, two from the state of Wisconsin, Clayton Tribu, and now, you know, this year Blake Wisdom, you know, willing to use a fifth year or a sixth year, as the case may be, you know, back here in the home state. I don't know. I don't know of anybody who's actively looking, but, you know, you see a score like, you know, and a guy like Ty Kretz with the amateur resume he's assembled in Wisconsin. I'm not saying he'd ever leave South Dakota State, but, you know, that's the kind of guy that could really help a program like a Marquette or a Wisconsin. I know Sebastian Kaysen had a good couple of days down at the Atlantic 10 Conference Championship for Loyola. You know, in college sports these days, Gary, and if you're a basketball fan, you know it. And if you're a football fan, your rosters today don't look like they did last year. And that's been relatively quiet on the golf scene, but it's possible. I mean, this new transfer portal world, I think anybody can transfer anywhere at any time.
Well, yeah, Mike said he's going to be checking the portal as soon as it opens, as soon as the names get in there, and he'll be looking for a player, and who knows what he'll come up with. I'm sure he's going to land somebody. The portal is, love it or hate it, it's definitely a huge part of what college sports has become and is today.
A couple of guys not in the portal that we wanted to talk about are guys playing professional golf. We talked about Marquette. We talked about Wisconsin, and they both have a couple of great ex-sports alumni that are doing great things on the professional ranks this weekend. We start first on the PGA Tour Americas, where a second straight top 10 finish for Sam Anderson, the former Badger out of Stoughton. Sam rounds of 67, 64, 73, 69 down in Lima, Peru, and he finishes alone in second behind Stu McDonald, who the Monday Q Info Twitter account, Gary, tells me one of the hottest developmental tour players in the last 2 years. And Ryan French said it was a popular win for the people who follow Stu McDonald. For those of us who follow Sam Anderson, oh, so close for Sammy. But he jumps from 17 to 5 on the points list on PGA Tour Americas. And I tell you what, he's rolling right now. Thomas Longbello has had a good run. He missed the cut in Peru after qualifying for the PGA Tour event last week. We've got a lot of guys, and we'll get to another one in a minute. But Sam Anderson, red hot right now, and it's good to see. He's kind of in that point now where he's been on the developmental tours for a few years, and you know Jordan Hahn has kind of departed and gone back in, and using his degree in the quote unquote real world. But I think Sam Anderson, based on what we're seeing to start this season, is a guy we want to keep an eye on.
Without question, you know, he opened 67-64 down there in Peru, and it was a third-round 73 that probably prevented him from winning this tournament, but he was right there at the very end, you know, two strokes behind the winner. What is it? What's the payout for this? Do you know what Sam makes for finishing second, Rob?
That's a good question. I do not know. I think I might be able to answer that, though, because I believe at the start of the week, they started doing a better job on our media site of putting, and here is the purse. Gary D'Amato, your question is going to be answered. Solo second.
All right.
Solo second is $24,300. I do not know if that's American money or if that's
Peruvian
currency, but 24,300 for a weekend's work, I'd take it.
Yeah, that's really good. And Sam made some money last week. I think he finished, or last tournament, 5 for 6th, right?
I think you're right.
In his last start.
Yep.
So he's probably made, you know, 30 grand in the last couple starts. You compare that to PGA Tour money, and that is, you know, the guy who finishes last among those who make the cut. But for a guy like Sam Anderson, who could use some bread, Rob, you know, I'm sure, to offset expenses of traveling throughout Central and South America on the PGA Americas Tour, you know, 30 grand goes a long way. Happy for Sam.
Well, and going from 17 to 5 in the points list is probably the other carrot. And as we talk, as we segue to our to the Korn Ferry Tour and the Veritex Bank Championship down at the Texas Rangers Ballpark in or Golf Club in Arlington, Texas, Hunter Eichhorn Monday qualifies as a co-medalist at one of the two sites for this week's event. Comes out and shoots 64, 66, 65. Endures a bunch of weather delays between the end of the second round and today. They got a late start again today, 5-hour delay. I'm not sure they're going to finish down there in Arlington. He's got about 3 holes to go, and he is 4-under for the day, 22-under for the tournament. 4-under dropped him one place from 5th to 6th here in the final round, but a top 25 finish gets him into the next event in mid-May, which is in Kansas City, Missouri, so somewhat home territory. Wisconsin golfers have had good success in Missouri, Illinois on the Korn Ferry Tour. But then the week after that, if he's able to get in, it's back in Tennessee near where he's living with his girlfriend, Sarah Busey, and for him, conceivably a home game. And then you get close to the reshuffle, and if he finishes if he finished in 5th today, he was going to be 80th on the Korn Ferry Tour points list, and right now at T5, or is that T6, he is T82. So again, you know, your position in the tournament's a big deal, but you're also your position on the points list is another big deal, because you hit the reshuffle in that top 100, you're probably going to start getting starts through the summer on the Korn Ferry Tour, and that would be huge.
Yeah, you know, Rob, I know they had a big weather delay in this tournament in the final round, and I see they're still on the course. Are they going to finish this tournament today? Hunter's got 1 or 2 holes to go, I think, as we're talking.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Is Nebraska, let me see what it, or, well, Texas has got to be on your time zone, right, Gary?
Yeah, I believe it is. And so it should be like there. He's got 2 holes to play, it looks like, here as we're recording this on Sunday evening.
Yeah, 6:30 right now in Arlington as we record this. And so I don't know. I mean, you would hate to have to come back for a Monday finish there. Now, the Korn Ferry Tour off next week. So for Hunter, that wouldn't be a big inconvenience other than rescheduling a flight. But You'd like to see it end. You'd like to see him know exactly where he stands. But, you know, this is a kid that, you know, started. You were probably the first to go up there to Kearney, Michigan, and chronicle what, you know, Hunter Eichhorn was all about and his roots to where he is now. I mean, this would be a monumental step, almost akin to when Dan Woltman finished top five at the Evans Scholar event in Illinois on the Corn Ferry Tour and was able to kind of, I thought, ride that out into another year and a half of Corn Ferry play.
I love Hunter's backstory, Rob, a guy that, you know, never had a golf lesson, played with his grandpa growing up on a little nine-hole dinky course up there in the UP, and, you know, just has tremendous self-belief and tremendous self-confidence. His swing is a little bit different maybe than the swings you'd see, the beautiful swings of the, you know, Scotty Schefflers of the world, footwork aside. But, you know, he believes in himself. He has a tremendous inner belief, and it's going to take him a long way. And I see, if I'm reading this right, Rob, as we're looking at the scores here, he's got two holes to go, and if he does make one more birdie, he'd finish, it looks like he'd climb into the top five, maybe finish T4. Yep. So we'll keep an eye on this, and hopefully he can finish strong here and finish in that top five.
A guy shot 10 under today, Evan Hamelin, to jump into that T4 position. So that would be big, and every spot matters if you're Hunter Eichhorn. But the fact that you made the most out of a Monday qualifier is kind of a great lesson for all these you know, high school and college kids behind him, especially the likes of Cam Huss and Pearson Hunt that might be starting here in a little while. It only takes 1 week, and that's kind of the mantra of what Ryan French does following the Monday qualifiers, and who knows who will be the next Scotty Scheffler. So it'll be fun to see if Hunter can finish this out. It'll be fun to see if they can finish this year, the tournament in Texas today. It'd be cool to get another guy out there. Hunter's kind of attacked it from a different way, while Harrison Ott and others and Thomas Longbella, George Kneiser, and Sam Anderson have gone south of the border. He stayed close to home, picked his spots to find a place to play, and now is making the most of it. One other thing to get to, the PGA Tour champions, only one Wisconsin golfer competing this weekend, Mario Tiziani, 72-68, moved up the ranks on Saturday, but today is 72, dropped a spot, finished T17. Stephen Ames, your winner on the PGA Tour champions. My sources tell me that Mario Tiziani, Steve Stricker, and Jerry Kelly will all be in the event, the Insperity Invitational next week at the Woodlands in Texas. And then, speaking of Steve Stricker, went on the PGA Tour this week, team with Matt Kuchar in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. And they missed the cut after shooting 66-72. Steve Stricker actually had Austin Gaukert on the bag this week. And apparently this tournament has ended with Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry knocking off a team of Rainey and Trainer after they all both finished at 25 under. So a lot of people turned out to see Rory play this week, and they got what they paid their money for, a win by Rory.
Yeah, it was fun that Stricker and Kuchar, the old guys, got in this tournament and had a good first round, Rob, but struggled a little bit in alternate shot with that 72. It's tough to go low in that format, but some of the teams, you know, managed to do it at the Zurich. But so that was Steve's second foray onto the PGA Tour, and in a couple of weeks we'll see him in the PGA Championship, and I'll be down for that, Rob, and at Valhalla outside of Louisville, where Steve played in a PGA and a Ryder Cup. So got that to look forward to.
Absolutely. And you'll be a traveling man because we're recording this on a Sunday, since you will be on the road Monday to what's become a popular golf destination point, Branson, Missouri. Tell me a little bit about what's ahead for Gary D'Amato this week.
Yeah, I've got a trip lined up with some other golf writers. We are we're going to play five or six courses in 5 days, including, I'm looking forward to Payne's Valley. That's the Tiger Woods course with the, I'm sure some of our listeners have seen the picture of the famous 19th hole. It's a betting hole, par three, surrounded by water at the bottom of a big rock outcropping with a waterfall cascading down it. So looking forward to playing Payne's Valley. There's some tremendous par three courses in Branson, top of the rock. And Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus both have designed par three courses up there. Can't wait to play there, Rob. And weather looks like 80s and sunny, so I'm going to get a little bit of your weather finally.
Well, that would be good. Yeah, we're starting to get back up in the 90s this week down here in Arizona. But have you been to Branson before to play?
One other time, about 7 or 8 years ago, yeah.
I mean, how would you rank it compared to, you know, I mean, I've heard people talk recently about softball friend of ours just came back from a buddy's trip to Mesquite, Nevada, which is a very popular place for you know, golf trips. I did the trip up to St. George, Utah a few years ago. Was really blown away by the beauty of that region. Obviously, Las Vegas, you know, Orlando, Phoenix, they all have places. If you have the money, you can play there. But, you know, unless you're going down to the Robert Trent Jones Trail or down to, you know, maybe Mississippi with a number of good courses, Branson's kind of, I don't want to say late to the party, but they, you know, developed, I think, as a somewhat of a country music destination. It is now, you know, I think balancing out with golf. Where would you put it in relation to other destination places you've been?
You know, it's getting right up there now. I think the addition of Payne's Valley, Rob, is going to make it, you know, one of those top six or seven destination places in the U.S. because they've got Ozarks National, designed by Corin Crenshaw, which opened, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. Really good golf course. Payne's Valley just opened a couple years ago. There's a course called Buffalo Ridge that I think the PGA Tour champions might have played a couple tournaments on. There's some really good golf courses there. There's 3 or 4, you know, relatively newer courses that are ranked among, you know, the best of the best anywhere. So I think there's 10 courses in the area now, but to your point, there's 37 theaters, and Branson gets, it's not a big town, and it gets 10 million visitors a year who come mostly for those shows that we were talking about. But the golf is becoming a very, very important amenity, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a couple of these new golf courses.
Are you a country music fan, and will you see any acts while you're down there?
You know, when I went down there 7 or 8 years ago, we did see an act. It was a reenactment, I guess, of the famous night at Sun Studios that Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Roy Orbison, and Jerry Lee Lewis happened to show up at Sun Records on the same night for different reasons, and it was a reenactment of the conversation and the singing that might have happened that night. That was a fun show. I've not seen any shows this year, but, you know, that's where Yakov Smirnov, Rob, I think he's like the most famous, the Russian comedian. He's been there for like 40 years. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't looked to see who's down there, you know, as residents right now. But, you know, there's so many, you know, these, I guess, Summerfest side stage acts that, you know, come out of, you know, their residences to play the summer tours. And, well, especially with all the, you know, the Country Thunder type acts. We've had one that just wrapped up down here in Arizona. And I know there's about 3 or 4 in Wisconsin, the Hodag, the one in Oshkosh, the one up by Eau Claire. You know, they're fun. I mean, and you look at your Facebook feed those weeks and it's amazing. But, you know, at the same time, Branson is, I think, you know, a great destination for retirees that don't want to live in a, you know, retirement community, that can live in their hometown, like a Milwaukee or a Madison, and then travel down there in the summer and spend a week and see the acts. And if you've got, you know, buddies that you want to play golf with, to me, it offers a lot of diversity for a summer trip. And I would think the climate's pretty good too.
Yeah, you know, the weather's going to be great, and I'm sure they don't have much of a winter. They get, I think, like 3 inches of snow annually down there. So they don't really have a winter. My wife and I own some land in Arkansas about an hour away, which we might build on someday. But it's a beautiful area of the country. We're at Table Rock Lake out in Branson is beautiful, and a lot of limestone, exposed limestone outcroppings on the golf courses. Very scenic area of the country.
Well, we'll look forward to your reports, and I'm sure, based on your recent travels, some social media pictures of places that have unique geographic configurations that we don't see in Wisconsin. So we'll look forward to that. As we look at the Wisconsin golf scene, I know there's a couple of U.S. Open locals not in Wisconsin this week, but I believe one in Minnesota, maybe one down in Illinois. We've got that. And also, if you haven't checked out Gary's story about the that's done quite well on our site this week, but Beaver Dam Country Club, new owners there. We talked a little bit about it last week, Gary. Everybody that's responded to your story is applauded because they feel long in the shadows of Old Hickory on the other side of Beaver Dam. We've got 2 minutes left. This looks like a course that could be revived and a lot done, not only with the golf course, but the clubhouse. I know when I played there last year for the first time, I saw a lot of potential there. It just needed a little, I think, tender love and care.
Yeah, the new owner, Dax White, he's an attorney, lives in Chicago, Rob, and bought the course out of foreclosure because the previous owner, Mel Helms, who I think also owned Evergreen at one point, Mel passed away last June. The course went into, the bank owned it, went into foreclosure. And when that happens, the bank is not going to spend a lot of money on maintaining a golf course. So it was a bare bones operation for 6 months. Thankfully, Tony Arvo stuck around. I have a lot of respect for Tony, GM, PGA GM and head golf professional. He kept the membership, kept telling them, things are going to be good. We're going to get an owner and we're going to be a golf course. And sure enough, it happened. So kudos to Dax White for stepping in and purchasing Beaver Dam. He's got some great, great plans. And I think you're right. There's a lot of potential there.
A lot of potential there. So we will look forward to Beaver Dam Country Club being a part of the landscape here going forward, and a lot of high school golf going on this week. Again, if the weather's getting better, it means we're going to get all these events in. It's been an eventful season so far. And also want to mention, too, that the PGA of America Club Professionals Championship going on in Frisco, Texas, will have updates and leaderboard postings of the five Wisconsin golfers in the field there. Gary, safe travels to you. Enjoy Branson, and we'll talk golf again next week.
Okay, Rob, thank you.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, this is Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.